Sorry.
It's usually I don't know what I was going to talk about until I heard Billy talking. I'm probably in the feeling.
Speak up a bit.
Not too many times I've heard that. I'm glad to hear Billy defending the Morris Park Rugby's, because we've been doing this for a long, long time. I've never once said all the good guys are orange and all the bad guys are green. No, there have been villains and rogues within loyalism. And Billy and I have both suffered, and our respective colleagues have suffered at the hands of these people, and have got us all a bad name. But we've weathered the storm and got ourselves through it. But in the early days, with those legs of John McMichael, Andy Terry, Dusty Spence, David Irvine, people like that, there wouldn't have been a peace process without the intellect and the thoughts of those people. It took those that made war to make peace. People have to remember that. They think somehow, some people think the peace process came up a leg and in a bubble. You know, they don't realise the effort that it took from the people who used to kill each other, individually to talk with their own membership, and then collectively to sit down together to move the whole process on. As Billy says, this didn't happen after the IRA decided it was going to be peace. This was talked about through articles or documents like Common Sense, 1985, 86, Beyond the Religious Divide, John McMichael, and people in our organisation at the time, working closely to try to move the whole peace process on. The PUP themselves, Dusty Spence, David Irvine, let's say, very, very influential people, and genuinely concerned people who wanted peace at the end of the day. John McMichael says in Common Sense about he was part, or allegedly he was the leader of the Ulster Freedom Fighters, the killing machine or the killing apparatus for the Ulster Defence Association. At the same time, he knew that could not go on, that there had to be an end to the violence, an end to the killing, and we had to learn to live together. We've learned to die together. It's time now to learn to live together. In the prison, when I was in prison in 82, 83, there was dialogue amongst our prisoners about should we sign up to a peace process, should we keep the fight going or whatever. I didn't take much part in it because I was due for release, so it wouldn't be fair to the influence people who might have had wrong sentences to do. But when I left, I wasn't moved very long, whenever I get called to talk on a social club, and the leadership of our organisation in South Belfast were telling me that there was declared ceasefire. And Joe Bradley had just been killed, Ray Smallwood, Remy Elder had just been killed. And I says, I've been in this organisation 22 years. Nobody asked me. Did I want a ceasefire? I says, I heard it on the news before I went out here. I would like to, and there's people in the organisation longer myself, I think we should have been consulted. I said, I think revenge should be got for those three people I mentioned, or for them being killed. Not that I wanted people to be killed in particular, but there was no use telling people not to kill when they had revenge in their hearts, and they would probably defy the enemy, or the chance was they would defy the enemy. So we talked it out, or we talked about it, and it was just decided this is what's happening. And it did give the impression to an awful lot of people that it was on the coattails of what the provisional IRA had done. But we worked, a lot of more genuine people got together. We had lost Ray Smallwood, we had lost John McMichael, and there wasn't very many people. Guy McMichael was doing his best, Davy Adams was doing his best, but with all due respect, they weren't in the same calibre as John had been and Ray Smallwood had been. But they started us off on the process, and again with the help of the PUP and Dusty Spence now. They were working hard, they were representing loyalism at Stormont. They were there, they were in saying what they had to say, doing what they had to do. But it wasn't really enough, because as Billy again says, people came to me and said they had been to see the Prime Minister. And he said those words that Billy said. They have a deeper self fame, and it seemed possible to deal with the Prime Minister, or the Royalist Prime Minister. which was a shame. And whenever Hugh Orr came here, I actually challenged him one night. He said, when he arrived, I think it was before he even arrived here, he says, I wouldn't give a loyalist 50p. And I said, and you had no right to say that. You're a policeman, you're not a politician. I says, there's UDA men I wouldn't give 50p to be honest, but there's many people that would. You shouldn't have said that. And you made other statements that you shouldn't have said. So I came here, people like him came here, many other people have come here from the mainland with a totally wrong idea about loyalism. They've turned us all with one brush, and they've used individuals as a way of keeping us down. For 30 odd years, the DUP didn't even want to talk to us, but had requested several times for a meeting with them to talk to them. And for almost 30 years, they wouldn't speak to us. And then they started speaking to us on the QT, where nobody really knew about it. We certainly didn't tell them. Until it was talked about decommission, and obviously then they wanted to say they had some sort of influence over us on the decommission, so they started talking to the public. And that's to help to bring the whole process to where it is, to where it was. Lewis has made one hell of a sacrifice, because they gave up all the strengths they had. They moved away from the strong base they had. There was no murder, there was no killings, there was no punishment students, no people getting beaten with baseball bats, people getting put out of the country, all that stuff. And people like the way in the PUP and other people like ourselves in the UPRG were spent years convincing people this was the way to move forward. We had to talk to people, we had to sit down and respect that there won't be a united Ireland, but there can be a Protestant Ulster. We're going to have to learn to live together. And the prisoners were the ones who were saying that to me in the early days. But if you don't live together, you die together. Or I say, well, we've done the dying together. We have to learn to live together. It's not just a case of people who lose votes. If this goes on, they'll lose voters the hard way. So all that hard work was done. The people that signed up the peace process, then again, 2 years of exclusion, they give up the guns. They're all as paramilitaries to decommission, which was very, very difficult. It wasn't so difficult with the ex-prisoners and the ex-combatants who had been there and done it. It was the women on the street who were saying to us, you can't give up those guns, they're our guns. We need those. If we give up our guns, the IRA murders in our beds. Whenever the IRA decommissioned, I heard a wee woman on downtown or whatever it was on the radio from a source strong saying, the IRA's got up their guns, well, all the murdered in their bed. Whenever the UDA and the UVF did it, a wee woman in Saudi Arabia said the exact same thing to me. They've given up their guns, we're all going to be murdered in our beds. But that's the decisions. When it was hard decisions to be made, the Royalist paramilitaries were making them. And we've sort of taken a back seat because we've been trying to share space, we've been sharing ideas, we've been listening to people, we've been appreciating source points of view. And we've been totally let down. When the flag came down, we were totally disgusted at Sinn Féin, as I've already said. Things are moving along all right. Sure, space can't be just a muster point wherever the alarm bell goes. But we were getting there. People were couldn't accept it, but we're working together. Republicans were coming into Sandy Row and Shankill, East Belfast, we were going up the Falls Road, Savannah, different places. That changed it all, turned it all around. And I don't blame the protesters for the anger and the tsunami of hate and bigotry that came out of it. Because they were totally shocked. The DUP sent a party, and the UUP sent 40,000 leaflets out East Belfast. We knew nothing about South Belfast. Certainly, we could come from the rural areas, from the work on Bridge, Bob Hensway, and that area. I had no idea that this was going to happen, that this might happen. It was a culture shock when it happened. And that turned the whole dynamic upside down. The politicians went ahead. Like I say, instead of loyalism uniting, it imploded. And as a result, this last 6 months, we're at odds with each other. And there's many different ways of getting the same destination. I've said to some of the protesters, I protest with you all day long, but not violently. That's not the way to do it. But if you don't want to do it their way, then there is no other way. Some of them, the genuine ones. There's other people there who are in no way genuine protesters that have created a way of identity for themselves, or they've been undesirable with one organisation or another until this happened. They've created a whole new identity. I blame Sinn Féin on that. We went to see Peter Robinson, myself and a couple of other fellas, went to see Peter Robinson and says, you think you're going to hide here until this all blows over? It's not going to blow over. You're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to go out and listen to the people. That's how the Unionist Forum came about. And I agree with Billy that it has potential. It certainly has not delivered. It's been frustrating to say the least. It has not delivered the true potential. Some of the subcommittees and some of the stuff that's happened is okay, but not enough. We told Sinn Féin that they're going to have to think more about loyalism. And this sounds strange saying this to a Republican. They're not going to get, how can you have a shared space, or how can you have equality if they're going to go down the Republican road, which forces us down the loyalist road? We've told the police that they are letting everybody down. They are not implementing the law. There's drug dealers, criminals, from kids on the street going into Republican areas to buy drugs. The people at the other end, who are major drug dealers and criminals, they're letting people see that they can get away with it. It's a major, major problem. Probably for both communities, but certainly within our loyalist communities. Everybody needs to do more. You're going to Cardiff tomorrow for a few days, and hopefully we're not there representing all of loyalism, but we'll be saying basically some of the stuff I'm saying here, and hope that everybody can come together and some sort of resolution or some sort of determination that and accept that everybody's going to have to do the work. I protest with protesters and tell them, but I understand why you're doing wrong, but it's still wrong. There's other ways we'll have to do. Loyalism is not the answer. The ulcerators that people try to make it out to be. We need a strategy. We need tactics different from the tactics we've used. People were saying to me, before the flag came down, people were saying to me, see, if there's benefit cuts, we're going to block our roads, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. The answer to everything for loyalists is block our roads, burn your neighbour's car, and throw stones at the police. Just we have to have different strategies. But they're that angry and that frustrated that they don't want to hear. The best way to demonstrate they think is by blocking roads with a Union flag around them. They are better than that. But they're that angry. They're not even prepared to hear that. We're all damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. We're going to have to, and that's what I'm saying, there should be young people here listening to what we're saying. There should be some of those protesters here listening to what we're saying, because there's great value in this. I've heard a lot of great stuff here today. We're just preaching to the converted. We need to get the people to hear what we are saying in a room. Not three or four of us going somewhere trying to explain it. That doesn't work. It's the way it has all come out. People just speaking their minds and saying how they feel. That's what we need. That's what loyalism needs. That's probably what the country needs. But it's certainly what our young people, who are totally unaware of all the great stuff we were talking about. And they don't even know if there's any need to know it. They don't want to know. They're happy enough in their own wee comfort zones. We have to get them out of that and explain what comfort is or what comfort could be.